to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
What? I'm shocked, I tell you. You know, I gotta find some humor in this, because otherwise it would drive me nuts. I'm already there. I hope there's some humor in today. Because there's, you know, it's Friday, it's time to have some laughs. But good news, I got a postcard. To my wife. I'm trying to set the model before our kids to read the Bible for what it says, not read in your own meaning. I love you, I love you, I love you, you're a man. I still love that lady. And unfortunately, card came back. I do want to address, to my joy, I do have some interactions with others. I actually had two. One was a question, because I made the statement that my wife, she's using the state, and it's theft. And I was challenged on that, which I respect. I think, you know, I take delight in that. When I have my intense dialogues with Chris, he is on rare occasion challenged me on something. I thought, maybe I have that wrong. And sometimes I don't. And sometimes I do. But, you know, and I enjoy that. Because, again, I'm not the reference. It's an important aspect. But I was challenged on that. And I do believe, yes, if my wife were by my side, the idea of what's mine is hers would be very, very much applicable. And so everything that had gone in would be there for her to use, so my obligation would be there. But when she uses the state to extract funds to buy her own separate house, literally buy her own separate house, and then have the state charge me and require funds for, you know, the obvious example I gave is for Julia, because she's a mother of two kids. She's not the responsibility of my wife nor myself, you know. A man will be joined to his wife to become one flesh. The man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife to become one flesh. You know, there's the leave idea aspect in there. And so the responsibility is gone. And to use the state to do these things is, I would suggest, theft. Plus, the other aspect is, because these things have changed, my wife is the one that has the information about when my kids become, you know, emancipated. And she hasn't gone to the state to say, oh, these numbers have changed. So that is direct theft. I would suggest that is direct theft. And then, of course, there is the absence of love, in the sense that, well, return postcards, this is a violation of man's law. She can refuse the ones to herself, but not to our kids. You know, this would be legal, refusing the ones to our kids. That's illegal. And of course, the fact that this call is censored is illegal. But anyway, so, I respect the idea that, yes, indeed, my wife has basically full access to everything I own when she's at my side. But she did abandon me. And legally separated financially on her volition. So she's extracting things anyway. Okay. I mentioned yesterday the cryptography, and I mentioned the card that I have. Here it is. This was, you know, it was, you know, a punch card. So it's, you know, roughly this kind of thickness and whatnot, except, you know, IBM punch card size. And it was put into a blender. Actually, it's a stack of three cards stuck into a blender. And my guess is these are the three cards. You know, I can't pick these out anymore. That for some reason, you know, it had a whole bunch of little holes in it, round holes, and I can't tell where they are anymore. But anyway, so I've now, I actually took a picture of it. So the show that's online, including a picture of a KG, because I'm pretty sure this is KG-13. It could have been a from the KW-26, because we had two KW-26s and, two 37s, whatever, the ones that the Navy used. And, a couple of KW-7s, but that didn't use carts. But we had a whole bunch of KG-13s, like about a... We had rows and rows. Somewhere between 50 and 100. I don't remember. We had a lot of them because, again, they were directly to missile silos. Well, not the individual silos, but they're a cluster of silos with a central control place, and we would communicate directly to that central control place. Anyway... I also mentioned, I couldn't get the verse right, but I have the verse right now. Leviticus 20:13. Allow me to read it. If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is upon them. So what I just read would get me perhaps in trouble, perhaps even arrested in Canada for pointing that out. Anyway, so... I've now said it. I've said it publicly, and I'll stand with it, because that's what the Bible says. On that, I find it related, sort of. Today, the Luna 25 spacecraft was launched from Russia to the moon. We're going to the moon! Luna 1 started in the 1960s, I think. 60s or even 50s. Anyway, this is the Russian, or at the time, the Soviet Union's space program. Because they obviously, Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space, but he did a suborbital flight, and then John Glenn did the first orbital flight. But before that, it was the Sputnik spacecraft that did make the orbit around the world. And all it did was broadcast a signal. And so it did fly over to the U.S. in order to let the people in the U.S. know, we're here, we're here, we beat you, we beat you, we beat you. It goes beep, 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 beep. Anyway, so they beat us, with something in orbit. It went around a little bit, and I don't know how long it lasted. Yuri Gagarin got into space. John Glenn did the first orbit. And then, of course, we had the space race, and we'd various things back and forth. We even, it was fascinating because it was 1960s, may have been early 70s. I think it was still in the 60s. First we had, the Mercury, then we had the Gemini, and then we had the Apollo. And now we have the Artemis, greatest Artemis of the Americans. Anyway, because it's all about money, just like in Acts 19. But anyway, it was with the Gemini program. We would send up first one spacecraft, the Agena, and it was basically just a big container with which bunch of equipment and whatnot in it, and then the Gemini would go up because we couldn't put that much into space at once at that time, and they would dock together. So, it did a lot of things in the exploring. One is to do that kind of docking maneuver in space, which was quite remarkable, especially at the time, because it was done, again, this was not done with all sorts of computers and whatnot. This was done with a guy saying, all right, I'm going to maneuver the spacecraft and connect to this other spacecraft. So it was really remarkable. It really was remarkable. People actually had some skills and talents and whatnot. You don't need that anymore. The computer does it. But then, of course, there was the effort to get to the moon. We both, U.S. and the Soviets, did things. But then, of course, you know, Neil Armstrong, you know, one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. And it was a man, you know, that was the anyway, a little. But so we beat the Soviets, because it was the Soviets at the time, basically Russians, to the moon, to put a man on the moon. And, but then of course that whole thing collapsed for the Soviets, especially with the collapse of the Soviet Union itself. So it's been dormant, and it's not dormant anymore. They apparently built a very large space center in the eastern part of Russia. And they fired off a very large vehicle today, and it's literally on the way to the moon. Again, Luna 25, which I find fascinating, because again, as a kid, all I watched this was neat to watch. You know, watch the launches, watch the dockings that occurred, the spacewalks and whatnot. You know, now it's kind of but back then that was really the thing. But one of the things I noticed. Because obviously, there's a whole bunch of, you know, the Russians are doing a lot of reports about this, because it's a big deal, because they're showing their technical achievements, their scientific work. And that's the thing I find fascinating. When I looked at various reports, because again, you know, I felt a little bit of that kid in me seeing how they were taking joy in the technology and the various aspects. People involved were talking about the one guy who apparently, is an astronaut. I guess he's maybe been to the space station or whatnot. The International Space Station, which is obviously having a problem. But anyway, but he talked about, you know, the things like the physical abilities that he had to, make sure he had in order to do these kind of things. Because obviously they're into this for the science. Science, specifically to be able to see, to learn, to understand something, to have knowledge of. And what I find when the Artemis program, first crew that's supposed to go up 2024 or is it 2025? I don't know. You know, U.S. government kind of programs, we're going to schedule it for 2024. That means 2027, you know, because we stretch it out because there's a lot more money to be made. But anyway, you know, because great is Artemis to the Americans. and of course, we say that over and over again. Great is Artemis to the Americans. Again, Acts 19. Remember, Acts 19. But when you look at that flight crew and they introduced him, what did they introduce? A white man, a black man, a woman, and someone, was he Indian or something of that nature? Anyway, it was a diversity lineup. The Russians are looking at the technology, the technical achievements, learning the science. That's their focus. The U.S., we talk about, this is our diversity efforts. Their focus is getting the first person of color and first female. And I wouldn't doubt the first, you know, homosexual or whatever, onto the moon. That's the West. I mean, we are ridiculous. And this is one of the reasons why so much of the non-West, which I'll get to... But anything, anyway, because I also, because I have it, I don't, I watched it after last night. There's a gentleman, apparently a musician or whatnot, must have made some fame or whatever, I don't know if he's in Doha or but somewhere in the Middle East. And he does for Al Jazeera a program periodically called Decoded. And he's an interesting presenter. It is a artsy, craftsy kind of thing in the way he does it. He does it in Arabic, but since he speaks English, what he does is he does the thing in Arabic and then will do the voiceover himself. So what you will see is sometimes he talks to somebody in English, and he does it in English. So my assumption is you hear it in Arabic, and it's him talking in Arabic. Sometimes, especially he does a thing where he has himself in two different positions, questioning himself, which again, artistically, it's done very well. But you can see that when he's talking to himself, what his mouth says and the words that are coming out of his mouth are two different things, because the video is done in Arabic, and because obviously they make two versions of this program. Anyway, they put some money into this, and it's artistically well done. And the one that was yesterday, will crypto and blockchain be the downfall of the state? what timing after what I discussed yesterday. So it was fascinating. And he did talk to one guy who was saying, how blockchain is, I would argue with the premise that he was saying and so forth. But so, because a lot of times the program is artistically well done, but I would suggest what he, conclusions he draws or what he presents is lacking in a lot of areas. And I believe this one indeed was clear, because he presented the idea, interviewed somebody who is pro blockchain, but obviously cryptocurrency and whatnot, and felt that, yes, this is going to take over the world kind of thing. And he did offer some, maybe there's some questions here, which, again, I respect. But the thing that was fascinating about the whole thing is, near the end, he interviewed a guy. In this case, it was in Arabic, so had to do the voiceover, because he interviewed a guy, a technology guy, in, I think he was in Doha, he talked about the need for the Arab community to develop Arab technology. What's the difference? It's not that, they're going to use a 9-bit byte or something. No, it's basically the same technology. But what was the problem with the technology that the West is producing? Specifically, he was talking about the decadence of the West, and the Arab community doesn't want it. I found that fascinating, because it was very direct. It wasn't security issues. It wasn't the tracking and whatnot. It was the decadence of the West that they don't want. And I found that remarkable. And I fully agree with him. Anyway, if a man lies with a male, as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood will be upon them. You can't say that in America. Or in Canada. Anyway. the crypto stuff, because one of the things that I wanted to mention is it's called Bitcoin, and it gives you the idea. It's very marketed. Blockchain, as I point out, is a marketing term for Merkle trees. Bitcoin is also a marketing term that gives a connotation of something that it's not. Because what is the big factor around coin versus cash? One of the issues with cash is, especially if you, get your money out of a bank machine, that machine is, has a whole bunch of electronics in it, including cameras. And so, normally we don't discuss this much, but the cameras can verify that indeed, here's a 20, here's a 20, here's a 20 coming out of this machine. Oh, by the way, and I'm recording the serial numbers. So it's not that it's a very intense thing, because it's not following you as much as, a transaction done with a credit card or your cell phone. I don't have a cell phone, but anyway, but it's a little bit of information. So the fact that this particular bill came out of this particular machine at this particular time and then may go into another machine at another time, is recorded. And so there is a loose possibility that, you know, this fellow withdrew some cash, bill number 123. Bill number 123 was deposited by this fellow. And by the way, that guy's a drug dealer. Hey, we just connected something. Anyway, especially if the timing and whatnot. But anyway, so these things are a possibility. That's not that strong. But there's a difference with coin. You pick up a coin, you'll notice there's no serial numbers. So you have an advantage with coin. Also, there's a difference in that if you looked at a $20 bill, you'll notice it says Federal Reserve note. It's not government issued. It's issued by the Federal Reserve, which is a private entity. It is not a government entity. Even though it's called the Federal Reserve, it has nothing to do with the government. It's just, again, marketing term. But they call it a quasi-governmental agency in order to give it the idea that it's not, it's a private, it's owned by banks. But they issue the paper money. Coin is produced by the U.S. government. So the only money, real money, that the U.S. government issues is coin. And so you have that aspect. But the other thing is, a quarter is a quarter is a quarter. A dime is a dime is a dime. They have fixed values. If I want to give you, 35 cents, I got to give you a quarter and a dime. If I want to give you 45 cents, I'll give you a quarter and two dimes, or a quarter, a dime, and two nickels, and so forth. Whereas, if I want to give you an electronic transaction, whether it's a paper check, whether it's a credit card transaction, a cell phone transaction, or a Bitcoin transaction, a cryptocurrency transaction, I'm giving you a single transaction for 45 cents, as opposed to a quarter and two dimes. Why is this important? Again, part of the issue is obviously they're the records thing. But with data collection and with monitoring, it is all these little things that put together give value. I talk about the idea of knowing where you are and knowing where other people are. And when you have people in proximity of each other, especially frequently, you form correlations in a similar way. I can't trace 25-cent transactions via coin anywhere near as well as I can trace a 45-cent transaction that is a single transaction, because I see the amount. Even if I don't have other information, I can just identify the amount, which will distinguish it from another transaction. So even if it's not the amount per se, in the sense that it's helping to identify the transaction, it does help in correlating transactions. A transaction from one party to another. Oh, both parties at the same time had a 45-cent transaction. You can see maybe there's a correlation here. If somebody was dropping off a whole bunch of coins and somebody else dropped, you don't have that those correlations unless you can know, the number of coins and so forth. And that's the point of the difference between cryptocurrencies, the ledger base things, where it is a single transaction versus chauffeur coin. Because chauffeur coin are coins. You have like 10 cent coins and 25 cent coins. So if I want to give you 45 cents with chauffeur coin, I'm going to give you a quarter coin and two dime coins, as if I were doing it physical. The reason that this is important is because the transactions, especially that it could be that the quarter comes from Bob, the dime comes from Alice, and the other dime comes from Charles. They're providing the transactions. And they have no correlation with each other. So the fact that a 45-cent transaction occurred, there's no record of it. And it's going to be a little difficult to correlate this data. But so that's anyway, and it's important. Another aspect why Bitcoin, the terminology itself, is deceptive. One last thing, and it's the image I'm using today. I haven't seen the movie yet. I saw the trailer, and I'll provide you the trailer and even the movie. Journey to Novarupta. I don't know how well I've pronounced that, but anyway, in Alaska, a volcano that went up in 1912, 1915, whatever it was. Apparently, a rather large volcano that went up and caused a good bit of havoc during that time. And so this is a movie about that. And obviously, my assumption, because it comes from Genesis Apologetics, that the theme will be it's more evidence for, well, the creation story. So that's my assumption. Again, all I saw was the trailer, and they didn't discuss that in the trailer that I recall. But it was interesting. But I caught something specifically, and that's the image that I used. A gentleman who apparently was there exploring it back 100 years ago wrote, "I hope the words on the pages of this journal inspire future generations to explore this amazing place. Some adventurers are inspired by fame or fortune, some by the pursuit of knowledge, but I've had the privilege of following in the footsteps of a man whose discovery show the glory of the Creator. My name is Kenny Cole, and this is my story. Thank you." I found that fascinating. Because of several things. One, future generations. Because one of the things I've wondered about is part of the reasons I'm doing these videos is to inspire my kids, the future generation. There is the possibility that they'll never see it. There is the possibility that one or more may one day, because obviously I'm striving to put some serious content in, as I think I did yesterday, as I hope I did to a degree today. And, you know, the other thing is, well, the glory of the Creator. My desire is to point my kids and anybody else to our Creator. For example, reading Leviticus 20:13, pointing to our Creator, because that's His words. But, you know, I also find it fascinating. Some adventurers are inspired by fame or fortune, and some by the pursuit of knowledge. And, going back to the Russians sending up the Luna 25, and the greatest Artemis of the Americans, and our diversity crew, what you see in the way the Russians are portraying this, at least, is they seem to be in the pursuit of knowledge. Pursuit of knowledge. In other words, by definition, science. Pursuit of science. As opposed to fame or fortune, which I would suggest this is the bottom line of what the diversity is for. Anyway, and the other thing, I had the privilege of following the footsteps of a man whose discovery show the glory of the Creator. You know, I've mentioned before, Isaac Newton who said, "I was seen further than others because I stood on the shoulders of giants." That idea, you know, again, is you know, I talk about, I gave the example of, well, Diffie-Hellman yesterday and Merkel, because a lot of the, because, you know, public key cryptography is what I use. And I work with what they inspired. I use UTF-8, which is Universal Transform Function, I think, that was done by Kenneth? Anyway, him. Richie? Anyway. There's several names of people who were early and notable especially the 60s, 70s, and 80s in some of the foundational things. And UTF-8 is, which actually didn't come out till the 90s, but still, it's literally inspirational. Anyway, so when I saw that line, you know, the idea of future generations to inspire. I want to inspire future generations, especially my kids, about the technology, about what's happening in the world, to celebrate science, including the science of creation. Again, as I point out, Genesis 1 is science. The Big Bang and macroevolution is a theory. It's not science. But I won't go through that again. But I want to inspire my kids about that and point them to our Creator. I think this is a big deal. I think this is a really big deal. I had some other remarkable things happen today. The blessings from a friend. And I pray I was a blessing to a friend, Chris, who is on his way tomorrow on a family vacation. But anyway, I am grateful that in spite of being abandoned by my wife, the woman I love and adore, he's given me friends. Chris, remarkably, beyond question, I've never had a friend like him. He's been a blessing to me, remarkably, in many ways. You know, we explore, challenge each other, and encourage each other in the scripture. Marvelous. I have other friends that we don't necessarily agree on, but there's been mutual encouragement, mutual joy. I've had a very busy week, and I believe I do believe my progress has improved. I'm delighted in what I can point to today, but I got exhausted. So it's kind of like, okay, I'm at this point, I need some review time. So tomorrow is my day off. And hopefully I'll be able to inspire all the more after my day off. I hope to encourage tomorrow a number of people, the farmers market tomorrow. That is my desire, because there's several people in particular that I want to encourage, because I think they need it. And there's one person in particular that I want to be an encouragement to. She's not being encouraging to me, but I love her with all my heart. I'm committed to her. And I won't turn from her. This journey to Novarupta, whatever, then done by Genesis Apologetics. And one of the other things that they did was the, what's it called? It's called something. It's Debunking Evolution. The series Debunking Evolution with John and Jane. And I only have lesson one online. Oh, too bad. But anyway, the Debunking Evolution with John and Jane, lesson one. I'm John, and this is Dorothy Jane that I really love. And again, the way that thing, you know, again, it's because the image is, well, right there. Assuming I'm pointing right there. John and Jane. She's wearing the black shirt. He's wearing the orange shirt. He says, on his shirt, it says creation. On her shirt, it says evolution. And they go back and forth wonderfully, really well done. And then you get to the end. She grabs that shirt, rips it off, and underneath she has creation. And it ends with saying, I really hope this makes you think. Dorothy Jane, my lady, my wife, I really hope this makes you think. It reminds you of the man you committed your life to. It reminds you how much I love you. It reminds you, or at least it will inspire my kids to know, our kids to know, this man loves his wife. This, like the John and Jane there, you and I are the John and Jane, the Dorothy Jane. My lady, my wife, I love you and I want you back.